You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
I'm going to Google this, and you're going to talk.
Okay. Grandmaster Gordy?
But, go.
It's a human foot. I use it to walk, but five of them's a person.
Okay, you guys. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Please keep that in without context. So.
I will keep it in without context.
I am your reader, Carmen.
I'm your crime weaver, Tyler. I'm going to say crime lord, but that's a real thing.
That is a real thing. I'm your Googler this week. I'm on a mission right now.
Googling Gord.
I forget what you're Googling. I know you said it 2 minutes ago.
I am Googling specifically website that you think is porn, but is actually just pictures of adults
you're
being
still on
sad.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, put it in quotes.
I know how Boolean. How dare you? Also, nobody does that, and I feel like Google's just going to ditch it because no one does.
Which is a shame, because the quotes and the plus sign are my secret way around the questions that no one else can find the answers to.
There's so many things that you can do, but everybody's just like, I'm just going to type in the full
blah,
question.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Type.
Google, how you do this.
Anyway,
Google, help, please.
Anyway.
Google, fake news.
We're not here to teach you how to Google things, but if that is a segment that you're interested in, let us know, and we'll take it under advisement. We're here for the same reason we always are, which is Carmen is going to read a fairy tale to Tyler and I, one that we have never heard before, one that we hope you have never heard before, one outside Disney's jurisdiction, one that has never been adapted into a major motion picture.
It's in the wild lands.
The bad lands of folklore.
And we mostly stick to that.
And we're going to discuss it as a story, its merits and its flaws in an unbiased,
often clinical,
very, very judicious manner.
All right, so you guys have had three options. You've
whittled
chewed,
it down.
You've chewed through two of them already, so this week you have one. We're going to Scotland. The story that I have been mispronouncing with my shoddy American education as the Stolen Bairn and the Cid. It is actually pronounced the Stolen Bairn and the Shid or Shade.
Sounded like Shade to me.
According, Shade. Yeah, we'll just call it Shade because that's easy for us. According to a YouTube thing. So,
Speaking
thanks,
of
YouTube.
How good we are at Googling.
Yes, we use the internet
We picked the first YouTube we saw and said, that's the truth.
Yeah. Welcome to America.
All right, so we're going to do this story. It's from Scotland. This particular version is sourced from Women, Folk, and Fairy Tales, edited by Rosemary Menard in 1975. Should learn how to pronounce this guy's name and spell it.
Is it Irish?
Yes, it is.
How's it spelled?
S-O-R-C-H is the first name.
S-O-R...
It's pronounced Blake.
Don't know that one.
The middle name is N-I-C, and the last name is L-E-O-D-H-A-S.
L-E-O-D-H-A-S? It could be literally anything. Okay, I'm not going to take a stab. I don't have enough... Irish name... Don't mess around with Irish names. They're not what you think.
They're all blade.
They're what?
They're all blade. No hilt.
Oh, not like Wesley Snipes.
No.
Okay. Yeah, they're interesting. Look up how to spell and pronounce Siobhan.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pronounce it terribly
uh-huh.
on purpose.
Yeah.
As incorrectly as I possibly can.
Sure.
Sorche Nick Leodhas.
This hurts me.
Yes, you're welcome.
This hurts me. I'm sorry to my ancestors.
Who was actually named LeClaire Goins Alger and was an American author.
And she made that shit up.
She
made that shit up.
She created that pseudonym. She was born in Youngstown, Ohio. She was a sickly child was homeschooled. A known librarian working from 1915 to 1966. And her imaginary pseudonym was a storyteller. She specifically sought out Scottish tales that hadn't been written down. And so she was the Grimm brothers of Scottish tales from America.
She picked a name specifically impenetrable so the code could never be cracked.
And I still have no idea how to pronounce it. So those of you who are actual folklorists who just kind of listen to us to be angry, feel free to correct us at any point, anytime. We know who we are. We're trash people who ruin your profession, so.
I might be entirely wrong based on my limited knowledge, but that seems like a common origin story for a woman who writes under a pseudonym.
Being a homeschooled, sickly American?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the ones that I'm familiar with, anyway.
Which would be...
Didn't Bronte do that?
Charlotte Bronte?
Which one?
Yeah.
And what did she write?
Bronte.
Which one is she? All these entities are fused in my head.
I think they did write under male pseudonyms for a little while. Yeah, Currer Bell was Charlotte's pseudonym.
Wasn't she sickly as well? Or am I making that part up?
What
I
she
mean,
got?
Most people were sickly.
It was a sickly.
As children.
I thought she had the TB.
And they're not American, by the way.
They weren't?
No.
What are they?
They're born in Thornton, Yorkshire, so.
Gotcha. Anyway, this story.
Yeah, this one that we're reading. I like the Bronte sisters. Well, Wuthering Heights sucked. I think that was Charlotte's fault, right?
Probably.
You should see the semaphore code version.
I have a Bronte book on here.
There's no accent on it? I've not heard the name out loud that often, but
I haven't either. It might be Bronte.
It was Bronte.
So yeah, how have I not heard that name out loud? I've read a couple of the books written by the sisters and enjoyed some of the comics about the sisters from that Hark a Vagrant comic, which everyone should go check out if they're a literary nerd or a history nerd or just a nerd.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm not very focused tonight. We should get back to this because it's my job to keep you guys on track and here I am off the rails. So... Yeah, all of you literature professors who are just like, oh my god, why did we start listening to these dipshits?
Slap our wrists, please.
Yes, we are but poor, uneducated, sad peoples.
Those are jokes.
Retroactive.
If it's wrong, it's a joke.
You should have known that.
It's as funny a joke as all of our bleeping of curse words.
It's a parody, if it's wrong.
All right, you guys ready to just do this thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
We'll mispronounce all kinds of things today. So there was a path that ran along near the edge of a cliff above the sea, and along this path in the gloaming mist of morning came two fairy women of the shade.
That's a good word.
Gloaming.
Yes.
It is not used enough.
That is a precise word.
Hit me with that definition.
Gloam is, I want to say, a state of mixed light.
Twilight, dusk. So maybe it wasn't morning.
Like twilight or dusk.
But yeah, like...
That kind of thing.
The golden hour.
Yeah.
Magic hour.
Maybe just a little bit past magic hour.
Witchy time.
No, that's midnight.
They have their own separate magic hour.
Yeah. There's filmmakers.
The witching hour, yeah.
Yeah.
And the golden hour.
Okay, so they stopped and fixed their eyes on a path before them where there was a bundle that was moving feebly and making mewling sounds. The two women leaned over to check it out and discovered that it was a mortal bairn. Or baby child. Or screaming poop sack, depending on your culture and opinions.
Yes.
If it was mewling, what else could it have been?
A cat?
It's true. Some
Cat's
people,
mule.
Yeah, that's their whole thing.
A mule?
Ours Ours doesn't mule, she chirps, but that's a Maine Coon thing.
But they do it to be baby-like.
It's true. The muling is specifically to imitate babies.
She could have been, or it could have been a mule that was muling.
Mule is just a verb.
By definition, they do.
But it's a different definition.
And mules, spelling.
Mule, cat's cat. Dog's dog. Not in an oral tradition, it isn't. You can't spell check a spoken story.
So, it's a baby person. They see nothing behind them but an empty moor with an empty path, and nothing before them but the same. So, on the left of them was more moor, and on the right was the cliff and the sea. So, they decide, we're gonna take this one. Free baby.
Free. Yeah. There's kind of a... Well, it's not squatter's rights, but it's a similar concept there. It's a finder's keeper's law.
We've already covered quarterly taxes for fairies.
Yeah.
What is this situation?
A refund?
Maybe? This is an investment.
Or that, I guess.
This is like, we took the... We did the Powerball. Mm-hmm. We won. We're going to go store that away and let it grow to pay the taxes later.
Yeah, it's an IRA or a,
yeah,
or a CD. Like, you get a little thing, squirrel it away, it becomes a bigger thing, then you
withdraw. I like the idea of changelings or baby stealing as fairy IRAs. That satisfies me on a deep level.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm trying to decide whether I do or do not want to live in a world where the Powerball billboard, instead of having a monetary value on it, just has a picture of a muling babe.
I think fewer people would play the Powerball.
Perhaps.
So about the same time...
It's more of a fae thing in general.
So about the same time as these two fairy women were investing in their future, some fishermen came sailing from the sea. And one of them looks up at the face of the steep cliff and shouts. The other asks, "Hey, dude, what's wrong?" And Mr. Shouty Guy says he thinks he's seen someone go over the cliff. The other says, "Well, maybe it was just a bird. They do that. It's their whole day." And Shouty Man...
You've been fishing too long, bruh.
Shouty Man says, "There's no bird that big. Let's go check it out."
I seen birds in my day.
The other one says, "No, we'll break our boat on the rocks." Well, says Shouty Man, "I can't eat dinner not knowing if I left somebody maybe hurt or dying, so, you know, I gotta have my dinner."
It's curious that this man went into the profession of fishing, because one of them seems more sensible about it than the other.
Yeah. It's true enough.
One of them sounds bored and like he has a hero complex.
So they bring the boat, or the boat, they bring the boat.
They bip the bop up the boop.
I'm a good reader. I read so many good.
There goes Baba.
I told you I'd mispronounce things in this story.
I'm just true
to my word. They bring the boat.
I didn't know that the boat was a particularly wily Scottish phrase.
I'm so sleepy.
It's a tough word if you think about it. How long is this story?
Longer than it needs to be now. They bring the boat in, and they find a lass laying on the shelf of the rock. They pull her down, and they put her in the boat, and they sail home and hand her off to the women to nurse her back to health.
So did this lady fall away from her baby?
Yes. Or the baby foos-ro-dod her. Who knows? Who knows? She was not so much hurt as she was dazed and daft, but 2 days later she found her wits again and started crying for her baby, asking where it was. The women say, "Okay, steal yourself, but we think it may have fallen in the ocean, because no one has seen a baby." She says, "No, I wrapped him up safe, and I left him by the path so I could look for water. Found it."
Yeah. Good job.
"So, let me go look for him. She's a human divining rod. Look at her go."
Done face planted in it.
Uh-huh. So the women wouldn't let her go because she was still weak from her fall. They send the men who didn't fall, and they can't find them.
Can't find what?
The baby.
Because it's gone.
Yeah.
We know that.
We know the audience. We know the fairies or the goblins or whatever.
The fairies. They were fairies.
Just took them. Yeah, sure, fairies.
Were they trolls? Were they policemen? Who can say?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so she waits till she gets her strength back because she doesn't trust these fishermen to be able to look for anything. And she goes searching for her bairn. For the father is dead, and the child is all she had. The fishermen had given the baby up for dead and wanted her to stay with them, but she says, "No, I have to look, and I promise I'll come back when I find him." So she wanders for days, asking anyone she comes across if they've seen just, like, a misplaced baby anywhere.
Wait, who is this?
This is the mom.
Okay, she promises to come back?
The fishermen want her to stay.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe she's cute. They'll get a lot of new faces.
That's enough of a reason, isn't it?
I guess.
It's the moors. It's not exactly... It's kind of a gloomy place to be.
I'm just curious why she feels beholden to that promise.
Where else is she going to go?
Is it gloomy?
Wherever she came from.
Okay. We're not getting too deep into her motivations or history right now because we have a whole story to read, Tyler.
Fair enough.
There's a discussion section specifically for that. So she wanders for days asking if anyone has seen this baby. No one knows anything. She comes upon a gypsy camp and asks them, and they don't know either, but they do pity her and invite her to stay for a while and join them when they journey to meet the rest of their clan. They have an ancient grandmother with all the wisdom in the world who could maybe help.
Goodbye, Cricket. Okay, ancient grandmother.
Yeah.
Super wisdom.
So she does stay and travel with them, and they go see this grandmother, who throws some herbs in the fire and then grabs her hand, weeping, to tell her that her bairn is with the Shade, the most powerful fairies. So she asks for a spell against them, but the grandmother says that her wisdom is only as old as man, and theirs is older than the beginning of the world. No spell of hers could help.
Out of her jurisdiction.
Yep. Also giving us a little more insight into fairy kind.
Mm-hmm.
And the structures thereof.
Well, I think that we already knew that they predated man.
So the last,
safe assumption, at least.
The last sigh is that if she can't have her bairn, she may as well just die. And the grandmother says, "No, there's maybe a way out. So chill here for a bit, and when our clan is ready to break up again, I'll talk to you."
Did this lady never get the talk?
Like how to make a new one?
Yeah, she could just make a new one.
Did it change theoretically. At any point? Did the content of the talk change?
What do you mean?
I mean, has it always been the same process?
I imagine so.
Or was it different in like ye olden times then?
We covered the egg laying process last time.
Are you suggesting that sexual relations have evolved over time?
Don't they?
In a way they do. I think the talk still covers the kind of like basic grindy action.
The brass tacks.
But like
grindy action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Theoretically you could expand the talk to include the modern interpretation of that grindy action, which involves a significant number of websites, the definition of the word vore, and
and some pee and stuff. Hashtag pee tapes.
And like a whole chart of potential identities to choose from and how those can interact with other potential identities.
Man, what kind of super parent gives that comprehensive talk?
That's like a full college course.
We're going to cover everything.
We're going to cover, yeah, like fluid gender identities. And basically what it comes down to is like whatever kind of giblets you have, you can whack them together.
And there are lots of new and creative ways to do it.
Like you can,
and some of them are old and creative ways that are just acceptable now, which is great.
And the inspirations to do so can vary wildly.
Oh yeah, and we've invented new ones.
Did we?
Like robots. Back in
people are into robots.
Pre-robots as a concept day, no one was
no one
like,
had that fetish.
Yeah. I don't know if any like super early man like immediately post Neanderthal got into like bridges or rocks or whatever, but there are people who are like attracted to
the first Alien movie.
Is that a fetish?
Not for me.
It is
perhaps my greatest fear in the universe. But for some people,
those two
maybe
parts of the brain are so close.
Like don't fetishes just kind of happen because wires get crossed at some point. Like,
I think so.
Like a lot of the, like, you get the funny feelings associated with something. Like, it's sort of a random happenstance.
Sure.
I don't know for certain if we have any like sexual psychologists in the audience. You can also, we love to learn.
We do.
So
we love to learn. We do it poorly.
So, like, as we've expanded our technology and understanding of the world and our understanding of ourselves and the possibilities that there are and have expanded our horizons on so many fields, it makes sense that the funny business will get wires crossed in all kinds of new and interesting ways.
Yeah.
So now people can sex up some robots.
They can. Or bridges.
Yeah.
Or furniture.
And good for them.
Just don't. All kinds of stuff.
Don't do it on anything that can't consent. Like an animal.
Right.
Or a child.
Yes.
And then you're good.
Or a person who has said no to you.
Right.
Because that is not a thing that that you should do.
Anything else you're into, so long as no one is unwillingly hurt, awesome.
First Alien movie.
And that has been Sex Ed as updated from Scottish shade-stealing baby times.
What I would advise you do, get one of those Bop-It machines. Just let the audio play. Follow instructions. Very good night in.
Those are two. Those are two supremely different methods to give the talk.
No, I have like the whole Bop It like rhythm stuck in my head. Yeah. Oh man.
I mean, that sets a pace as well.
That's what 90s kids were doing.
The Bop-It was the birds and the bees talk when we were growing up.
It is a fetish. Bop-Its.
Is it? Documented?
I assume so.
I mean, sure
Bop-It Extreme,
is.
That adds some interesting wrinkles, we'll say.
Yes,
what did they add to that one? Spin It?
I'll Google briefly.
Bop-It Extreme?
We should probably move on, but I will Google it.
I think Flick It? You can work that in.
You can work that in.
I think Flick It was in the original.
Bop
It. Was it. Pull It, Twist It, Bop It.
Flick It. There are like four things.
No, I think there's only the three for the original.
Okay, Gordy is our Googler today, so he is going to get deep into Bop It lore.
Hey, it costs $40 for a Bop It Extreme these days.
Well, yeah, that's...
They're in short supply.
I mean, that's a
and
lot.
And it's out of stock.
That's a lot of good... intimate times / nostalgia memories.
Gordy, keep us updated. We're gonna soldier on.
Okay,
so the time comes and the grandmother
I don't mean to derail
update
this
one.
Already you think instructions, yes, instructions is the right one, because I was trying to go for activities and I wasn't doing it.
Grandmother tells her that at around this time the people the shade gather at Shadehine. I guess I'm just gonna soldier through
Shadehine.
Yeah, it's
Shade time?
Sidin is how it's spelled. Shadehine, to choose one of them to rule for the next 100 years. If you can get in there with them...
Get out the vote.
You might be able to win your kid back.
You got it right. Bop it, twist it, pull it, spin it, flick it.
That's the original?
That's the extreme.
Oh.
It's only five.
What's the original?
Pretty sure it's just three.
Yeah, I think it's bop it, twist it, pull it.
Oh, then I had the extreme growing up and didn't even know.
It's a privileged life.
That's the whitest of privileges.
That's true.
Had Bop It Extreme. Thought it was just Bop It.
It's a good episode title.
I have to face my privilege.
The whitest of privileges.
Okay, so the woman asks her how, and the grandmother says, well, for all my wisdom, I can't... for all their wisdom, the Shade can't make anything for themselves. They have to barter or steal for everything.
Yeah.
Canon. We did know
that.
Yeah,
we knew that. That's a fae thing.
Yeah, cakes can't do...
Cake boss.
They had to outsource cakes.
They have great vanity. We also kind of know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a strong desire to possess things for which there is no equal. So they're kind of like kings.
Yeah.
So if you can find such a thing, you might be able to buy your kid back.
A Bop It with five or six activities on it. Is this a Bop It update?
No, there's a Kim Jong-un romper for sale. for $80.
How is this for Gordy?
It's not, but like, I am not interested in the male rompers because they seem like a very inefficient piece of clothing, but it does provide a good canvas for a close-up picture of Kim Jong-un's face, and now I'm reconsidering.
You would make Cassie's day.
We're going to do a whole fashion show.
You yeah, it's all going to be Gordy.
You have been making questionable choices lately.
What do you mean questionable?
It started with the unicorn onesie, and it's kind of gone off the rails from there.
Yeah.
You buy one unicorn onesie, and...
I bought a national...
Next thing you know, you're a flat earth scientist.
I bought a national security-inspired t-shirt.
Anyway. She says, how do I find such a thing, and how do I get into Shadehine?
Just call it ShadeCon.
The grandmother says, for the first question, who knows? I can't tell you. And for the second, you might be able to buy your way into that, too.
Yep, makes sense to me.
So the grandmother lays hands on her and gives her a spell to keep her safe from earth, wind, fire, and air, but not Captain Planet. Then the gypsies left.
No heart.
No heart. Nope.
No heart.
She's still vulnerable to heart.
Can't defend against that.
Alright, so the woman knew she needed to find not one, but two super unique, fabulous barter tools to get first into ShadeCon and then steal her baby back from them. So she thinks about it for a while, and after initially panicking, she calms down and remembers that when people talk of rare, wondrous things, they talk about the White Cloak of Nekton and the Golden-Stringed Harp of Rad.
Of Rad?
Of Rad, yeah. W-R-A-D.
Okay.
Does that have a different pronunciation to your knowledge?
No, I just, like...
Like Thor?
Harp of Rad. Sounds pretty cool.
Yep. So she knew what she must do, which is presumably to go find these things. She goes by the sea, and she collects the down from eider ducks. She's not cut or bruised by the rocks, nor hit by the waves, nor burnt by the sun, nor blasted by the gales, thanks to the gypsy spell.
She bit by the ducks, though?
Probably. She's not protected from heart, so.
That was his thing usually, right? He was the animal guy?
Yeah. He had the monkey. That translates to all animals.
I cannot remember a single episode or what happened in it.
I can't either. I just remember being shamed by my father for leaving a light on.
For what?
I left a light on in a room and my dad's like, what would Captain Planet think?
We've covered this.
Yes, we have. This is part of
very
my childhood.
Early ramble material.
All right, so she gets all the feathers. I guess all of them possible.
All the freebies.
And she sits down and weaves them into a cloak so soft and white that no one would think feathers.
No one would think that they all came from ducks' assholes.
Yeah, it's counterfeit. It's a good consideration if you are into buying fur, leather, anything that does come from animals, if that's your thing. How much of it is butt skin or butt fur?
I mean, if it's mass produced, probably a lot.
I think that's where they harvest first.
That's sweet, soft butt.
Isn't it?
Here at Pet Fur Co., we harvest the butt.
Because it gets stretched a lot. Like, it gets worked a lot, so it gets...
Here at Pet Fur Co., we work the butt.
It becomes...
We work the butt, then we harvest the butt.
It becomes supple.
It's the whole butt cycle through, here at Pet Fur Co.
Here at Pet Fur Co., we use the supplest butts.
Through many, many... Just the natural workings of that region.
Now I'm picturing this infomercial with the... The GUIs on the screen that just like supple, worked, harvested, butts. Pet Fur Co.
pet Fur Co.
Off Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
Get the stretched, the stretchiness, the butt.
What the fuck is that billboard?
It's very long.
It's obscene.
It's very long. Yeah, and then
this has been a sneak peek at Rick and Morty season 3.
And then it's got a picture of a cow, like looking at the behind, but then its head is kind of twisted around, looking at you, and it's got its eyebrows up, and it's head down, like, you know what you're getting.
Can we just steal one of those from Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, we just
one of those big
it.
One of those big cow
one
things.
Of those big old cows. We're working on a budget.
It kind of accentuate the just the supplest regions
region.
of that body.
Yeah, use some good contouring, like highlights and shadows. Anyway,
I have a real question. How long is this story, and at what point does this become a two-parter?
We're not halfway through it, and it's a regular length story. We're just not focusing very well.
I know.
We're just talking a lot about supple butts.
I know. At what point do we make this episode two parts?
How about
to
you
compensate?
Let me get through it.
Well,
no more jokes.
Stop arguing this, and we'll get it done. So she makes the butt cloak. She takes the gold hair from her head, and she embroiders a border of golden fruits and flowers and leaves and puts the cloak by to keep it safe. Then she goes back to the shore, seeking something for to make the frame of this harp. And she finds the bones of an animal washed up, smooth as ivory from the waves and sun. So she bends and binds it into the frame shape of a harp. She strings it with more of her golden hair. She tunes it. And she plays music so sweet that the birds lay motionless in the air to listen. So she, like, I don't know, stun some birds with her hair music.
Yeah.
This is like some serious Pinterest DIY bullshit.
Hair harp?
Yeah. Like,
people would go for that on Pinterest.
They would. And it would be a nice change from all the slime posts that I've been seeing.
What?
Slime is still trying to be a fad in spite of fidget spinners.
Slime?
Eating its lunch.
Yeah, you make it with glue and borax and other
Why?
Stuff. I don't, because kids, I
kids
don't know.
Like the gross stuff.
It's not that gross. It's a non-Newtonian solid or liquid.
Okay.
It's like a weird, funky thing, and you can put glitter in it.
Is it
so
different from GAC?
Not terribly, no.
Or oobleck?
Nope.
Is it oobleck?
It's pretty much oobleck, except you can put shamrock sequins in it and make it St. Patrick's Day slime.
Could you not do that to oobleck?
Yes, but there weren't Pinterest boards dedicated to oobleck.
Sure, but why slime?
Guys?
Oobleck is more fun to say. Kids of today, they don't get it.
She puts the cloak on her shoulders, and she carries the harp, and she sets off for ShadeCon.
Did you know that R.L. Stein got 3 books out of, like, gunk in a can that comes to life?
She traveled the high road and the by road, the open way and the secret way, daylight and moonlight, until she came to the end of her journey.
If I had a mind to, I could force this to be a two-parter.
She hid in the thicket at the foot of ShadeCon and sees the shade coming.
Did you guys ever eat oobleck?
They were tall, dark people with little to show they were fairy folk, except that their ears were long, narrow, and pointed, and their eyes and brows were set slantwise in their faces.
I ate a lot of Play-Doh when I was a kid.
They look essentially like the D&D illustrations of the dark elves. Good job, Cricket. Or the Skyrim dark elves.
The drow.
So, yeah, these are drow people, essentially. As she hoped, one of them showed up late.
As she hoped.
Yes. So she fluffs out her cloak and steps into the Shade Woman's path. The Shade Woman is angry and shouts, "You're not one of us!"
Mm-hmm.
But then she sees the cloak and her eyes get greedy.
Mm-hmm.
She asks what this woman will take for it and shouts, "Just give it to me!"
This Shade Woman sounds like a real Karen Handel, if you know what I mean.
That's a Georgia District 6 joke for those of you out-of-towners.
What did you say?
Said this woman sounds like a real Karen Handel.
Yeah.
She's claiming that this person's not from around here, but yeah. She sees that fur coat.
She wants it.
Yeah.
She needs it.
Yeah. 5 more days.
The last says that the cloak is not for sale, and then cunningly swirls its folds so the light shimmered and shone upon it, making the golden fruits and flowers glow like they had a life of their own.
Fruits do. So do flowers.
Is embroidered, so they don't. But now they look like they do. Shut your face.
But okay.
The fairy offers to give as much gold as could cover the cloak, and the lass says all the gold of the shade could not buy it, but it does have a price. "Tell me," the shade says, dancing with impatience. "Whatever price, you shall have it." She says,
"Your shade con badge."
Yeah, she says, "Yeah, I want a 3-day pass. Shade con." And the shade says, "Yeah, deal, give it to me, whatever." But the last knows that the Shade are thieving race.
Uh-huh.
And they will cheat whenever they can. So she refuses to give the cloak until she is inside ShadeCon. When the Shade see the mortal among them, they get mad and try to push her out, but she steps quickly behind the fairy who bartered her cloak. They see the cloak, forget her completely, and crowd around the cloak to touch it and beg to try it on. I like these people as a concept. I don't think I'd like to hang out with them.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
So the last looks around until she sees the throne with a new king on it. She walks up to the throne boldly, holds the harp for him to see. The king asks, "Ooh, what do you have?" And she says, "A harp." And he says, "Ooh, I have a lot of those." She says, "Not one like this." And she plucks the strings. One note was filled with such wild love and longing that all the Shade turn away from the cloak and come to wonder at the harp.
Damn.
Her hair has some properties. So the king stretched out both hands and cries, "Give me the harp!" These are like all 3-year-olds grown up into fairy people.
They're
like,
wanty.
Me! Give me! Lass says, "Nope, this one's mine." And a crafty look comes to the king's eyes, and he says idly, "Well, keep it then. But let me try it once to see if the notes are true." The lass sees through this, because it's not all that subtle.
No, not at all.
And says, "Oh, they're true enough. I tune them myself, and it needs no trying." The king says, "Oh, well, it's just a harp. Still, I have taken a fancy to it."
He says, "Oh, it's just a harp trying to cover his boner subtly."
"Name your price, and maybe we can strike a bargain." And she says, "I don't know. I made this with my own hands and strung it with my own hair." Don't tell him that. I thought you were trying to pass this off as a fancy harp. "There's none like it in the world, and I'm not liking to part with it at all." The king can't contain himself anymore.
I mean, if rarity is the only thing that they care about...
It is rare.
You could make a suit out of, like, your dead skin and give it to them as something special. Like, you're not going to find another one of these. I fucking guarantee that.
"Here's my teeth gauntlet." I gathered all the baby teeth and made a hand glove out of it.
I made a glove out of molars. "Do you want this, you weirdo fairies?"
"Here's a fish mullet. It's a wig for your fish. No one else has it."
They're hipsters.
Yes, these are the ultimate hipsters. Okay, so the king can't contain himself anymore. Boner too big to hide. It says, "Ask what you will. Whatever you ask, I'll give it. But give me the harp." So she asks for the child, and he now hesitates. Because this was a price he didn't want to pay. He had a mind to keep.
Whoa, taxes are coming up.
Gotta fatten this one up for the devils.
I don't know why that image pleases me so. But just three fairy servants force feeding a child.
I think it's just a very...
"We need to fatten you up for the devils."
It's a very casual way to speak about a pretty high impact event. I guess like it's become so routine to them. They're just like, "Oh, a baby. The devils will like you too.
The devils will be pleased."
I think it's also because it's become so casual to us that this is just the way that things happen.
Maybe some babies break the mold. Like they manage to be like to dance their way out, or they're good enough at basketball that they don't have to be taxes.
That's how Michael Jordan got his contract.
I'm saying Boys in the Hood is based off of this story.
Okay, so he has his fairy people bring out gold and poured it in great heaps at her feet and says, "There's a fortune your king would envy. You can have it all, just give me the harp." And she says, "Nah, give me the kid." So he adds a bunch of jewels to the heap until she stood waist deep, but she doesn't even look at them and demands her child. He sees that she won't be moved, has them fetch the child. The bairn knew his mother at once, held out his arms to her. The king held him away and would not let her take him.
How long has it been?
She wandered for a few days before she found the gypsy camp. Then she had to wander with them to their big meeting. And then she had to wait there for a little while.
So no years have passed.
I don't think it's years, but it might have been months pretty easily. She had to recover from the cliff.
Right.
Do the wandering, do all that. And make a cloak and a harp. And sure. I don't think it's a short job to sew that many down feathers together. So the king's holding a baby and not letting her take it. Mm-hmm. And says, "Harp first." The girl says, "Bairn first." And they argue.
On the count of three.
I guess these two phrases over and over again until the king gives in. So she gives him the harp after the child is safe in her arms, and he starts to play it, and all the shade are spellbound, and they never even saw her leave. She left them there with the king playing the harp and the shade standing still to listen, and maybe for the next 100 years they did that, for all anyone knows. No one keeps track of the shade. They missed their tax deadline. So she goes back to the nice fisher folk who saved her life, and she and the child dwelt happily there for the rest of their days. The end. See, no need to make this a two-parter. In spite of all your efforts.
That wasn't an effort.
Still thinking about Oobleck.
Yeah, non-Newtonian solids are really interesting. We could have a whole physics discussion.
What if we had a story discussion?
I guess we could do that too. Except I don't remember any of it.
Who is this woman?
That is a good question.
It's a good,
she just wanders off a cliff one day.
Looking for water.
She didn't find it. She's not the wisest one, right? She just takes advice.
Yeah, the wisest one is the grandmother person.
Right.
And the wiser ones are the shade.
She's around. She was the one who was around.
However, she is clever enough to, one, think of these things that she hears about stories being told, like rare crap.
Right.
And two, not think, "I should go find that shit," but think, "I should turn goose butts into that shit."
Yeah.
"I should forge these items of legend."
Yeah, that's clever.
So she's not unintelligent.
Yeah, if she feels like she can get away with it, it's clever, which she can.
I know not everyone thinks in terms of crime like I do.
No, it's true.
Wouldn't it have been easier to just take a kid and switch them out?
Like steal someone else's baby?
Yeah, as equals.
I mean, you would think that, but it would also be fairly easy for the fairy folk to just steal a new baby. So why they were...
No, they can't. They're fairies. They can't do anything.
They can't make a baby. They can steal. That's their whole thing.
They can steal. If they want to keep their total baby count net neutral, then they need to get it back.
What do you mean?
Like, if they swap the baby, then, like, as a group, they're still down one baby, right?
Why?
Because then the fairies will still have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, of, like, the human population there.
I guess that goes back to my other point of, I don't know why she's beholden to this fishing village.
I don't think she's beholden to it. She's just, they're nice people, and she has nowhere else to go.
Yeah. There's no such thing. They all want something.
As nice people?
Yeah. They're all after something. They want a fat devil baby, too.
Like, maybe they need a baby to fatten up for the devils.
Yeah, we don't
so
know
it
who
is imperative
owes taxes.
To get it back. And they can't just swap it out for another baby, because that baby is needed for for devil taxes.
Those devil taxes get you coming and going. You prepay as much as you can, and they still want more babies.
Oh.
And adult human men.
Don't take out a loan, because the interest rates are crazy.
It's like a whole village.
You may end up having another baby just for the interest.
We've never really gotten into the different values.
Assigned to people for taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we've assumed that grown humans are taken. In the case of
Tamlin,
we've seen perhaps a dead body taken recently. Like, didn't we joke that a corpse was being taken for taxes?
Possibly.
Maybe. I don't remember.
And now an infant child. And I don't think all of those things are equivalent.
Well, I don't know that the infant's going to be given his taxes as an infant. Again, IRA.
Right.
It grows up and then his taxes.
Sure.
Still got to stuff it full, though.
But do you value them based on weight, on age, on skill set, maybe?
Apparently all of those things are factored in.
Resume? Work experience?
It can't be that.
Certifications?
Wait, I don't think it's any practical skill. But age and weight, maybe social rank?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that either, because they were comfortable taking an unknown child.
I mean, yeah, but skills too.
I mean, it's
too.
Not worth nothing. Still.
Some years you owe less.
You gotta cook those books somehow.
Yeah, we still make pennies. There is a use for them. Not a great use anymore, but they're around. Maybe this kid was just a penny.
I mean, he was heads up on the ground.
Yes.
See a penny, take a penny.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, what other things was Bopit missing?
Kyler.
I like this story. I don't have a problem with it. That's my read.
It did teach us a little bit more about fairy culture, which
keep
we
it
do
up.
Need for the Book of Doug / Project Birdfall.
Sure. Bits and pieces.
These are definitely...
It reinforced a lot.
These are definitely the Unseelie Court crowd.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just clarifying.
Just noting.
Classifying. They're part of the Unseelie Court. A little chaotic. This is like the greedy subspecies of them.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The Shade people.
Yeah.
They're the most human king-like of the fairies we've met.
Yes, they are. They are.
Cool.
I was not really like engendered to the plight of our character. Because I don't know enough about the situation to care, really.
I mean, I hoped she did the thing.
I guess.
But, like, I guess, I don't know, maybe the baby would have had fun there.
None of us are parents.
For a while.
None of us particularly want to be parents.
Yeah, I don't have, like...
That kid could have been better off his taxes.
I had a burst of paternal instinct, and I think I used it up.
I had a maternal dream once.
And I don't know if that is a well that keeps going or if I have to dig another one or what's going on there.
I had a maternal dream and then I taught children.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy teaching children. I also really enjoy coming home to where they aren't.
I like having control over my life. and children complicate that quite a bit. So maybe
the three of us wouldn't have emotionally connected to this because we have,
maybe that betrays our bias, but like maybe the kid would have a good time with the fairies. Maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's like eternal daycare.
Maybe. I bet they get up to some fun stuff.
I feel like we've seen that happen. I can't think of a specific example, but I feel like we've seen a child raised in a fae household.
I think
that has turned out pretty okay.
I think having some kind of like foreign exchange student program with the fairies would be a good idea. We could at least kind of intermingle the cultures a little bit.
Sure.
Without it being weird.
Of course, fairies can disguise themselves as humans, so.
They can, I guess. I don't know.
Also, I'm like actually falling asleep during this because a lot of what you just said was a blur, so I hope my response is relevant to it.
Well,
I'm flying on pure instinct now.
I think we have enough.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good place to end an episode.
So
it's very late.
Who knows? Maybe next time we record, we'll have a Bopit, and we'll have learned a lot more about the human spirit.
I don't think any of us are dumb enough to spend $40 on a Bopit.
I mean, I'm not going to.
That sounds like a down, like a challenge.
I'm just going to say,
who will crack first?
I have seen the purchase history of both of you.
Yeah.
My faith that neither of you would purchase a Bop-It is not that high.
Here's the thing, though. I bet you can get a virtual Bop-It for free.
There might be a Bop-It application for your phone.
I'm almost 100% sure there is.
Okay, if I do get a Bop-It, it definitely fell off a truck and I got it for free.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say that now. That's the truth of the matter.
It's definitely true because you have said it before it happened.
I had a premonition.
Mm-hmm.
Bop-It related.
How many of those have there been? A Bop-It related premonition?
There was one time when I was playing Bop-It, and before the next thing was said, I knew what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, this has been the only Bop-It related premonition.
One time when I was in middle school and I was out at a Chinese restaurant with my family, I thought randomly, wouldn't it be crazy if I ran into this random person from my class there? And then that person was there with her family.
Doing sick Bop-It tricks.
Just walked in. And then I was like, I am psychic. I knew it. Yeah, okay. A little bit more Bop-It information for you.
Yeah.
Right there at the end.
I wanna do one last Bop-It thing.
Okay.
Before we close out the episode.
Okay.
We've learned that the original Bop-It is three things. There's three of us.
Yeah.
Which is which?
Who is like, what? Which are the three original ones?
Yeah, who's Bop-It, who's Twist-It, and who's Pull-It?
Hey, there is a Bop-It app, by the way.
Is it a free app, or did you pay money for it?
It is free.
Okay.
I would like to allow it to record audio. I don't know why. I'm happy to give it that privilege.
It's a secret. It's a spy tool.
Please.
They're hiding it in Bop-It now.
Please no, I do not want to see the tutorial. I think it froze though. Oh well. Nope. Still kind of going.
Still what? Kicking with life.
I know we said some things that are probably good episode titles. I foresee this one just being the one about a Bop-It.
Uh-huh.
Just follow that titling strategy.
So who's Bop-It, who's Twist-It, who's Pull-It?
You're Twist-It.
Okay. I can take that.
Because crime.
Okay. And?
I'm not divvying all of these out. I just know that Tyler has this magical ability to twist things into crime, so he's Twist-It.
Okay.
So I'll just Bop-It and Pull-It.
Bop-It and Pull-It.
You have yours, Tyler, so you have no dog left in this fight.
I can't. I don't think I can fairly.
Carmen's Bop-It and Gordy's Pull-It.
For what reasons?
Carmen is Bop-It because.
Because.
Is this enough?
For a very good reason.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Are you saying that because you can't think of a nice reason I'm Bop-It, or because you can't think of a reason I'm Bop-It?
Carmen's Bop-It because she does headbutt things fairly frequently.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I would say that constitutes a bop.
Okay, sure.
By my definition.
Okay.
Gordy's Pull-It because Gordy's always pulling at the strings of conspiracies. Unweaving their webs.
Okay.
And seeking the truth.
Okay.
I had a better one for Gordy. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You kind of just got stuck with Bop-It. I'll be honest.
If you would like to point Tumblr in a new direction, I think Bop-It Identities is maybe a good fight for them to take up.
It's a fun social experiment.
Okay.
Listeners, if you want to tell us which Bop-It you are,
or if you,
I'll read it, I guess.
If you disagree with us and want to reassign Bop-Its based on what you know from listening to us, for how many episodes have we done?
Is this 120? Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, for 120 episodes, then go for it.
This has been an episode of What the Folklore. Thank you for listening. You can find us on iTunes at What the Folklore.
And places.
Facebook. Patreon.
Following Gordy Steps and Google it.
Twitter.
Yes.
Thanks to our patrons. And thank you, Doug.
Patrons and Doug, you all rock. Thank you, Doug.
Patrons and Doug, thank you.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WT Folklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.